Canto 2, chapter 6, text number 24. Deshu yagnasya pashava.
Deshu yagnasya pashava.
Savanas patayo kashaha.
Savanas patayo kashaha.
Idam cha deva yajanam.
Idam cha deva yajanam.
Kalas choru ganan vita.
Kalas choru ganan vita.
Deshu.
Deshu.
In such sacrifices.
Yagnasya,
of the sacrificial performance. Pashavaha, the animals or the sacrificial ingredients. Savanas patya,
along with flowers and leaves.
Kushaha, the straw. Idam, all these. Cha, as also. Deva yajanam, the sacrificial altar. Kalaha, a suitable time. Cha, as also. Uru, great. Guna anvita, qualified. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. For performing sacrificial ceremonies, one requires sacrificial ingredients, such as flowers, leaves, and straw, along with the sacrificial altar and a suitable time, spring. There's no purport, so I'll read text 25. Pasjunyo shadhaya sneha rasaloha midojalam richo yagnumsi samani chatu hotram satama. Translation. Other requirements are utensils, grains, clarified butter, honey, gold, earth, water, the Rig Veda, Yajur Veda, and Sama Veda, and four priests to perform the sacrifice. Purport. To perform a sacrifice successfully, at least four expert priests are needed. One who can offer, Hota, one who can chant, Udgata, one who can kindle the sacrificial fire without the aid of separate fire, Advaryu, and one who can supervise, Brahma. Such sacrifices were conducted from the birth of Brahma, the first living creature, and were carried on to the reign of Maharaj Yudhisthira. But such expert Brahmana priests are very rare in this age of corruption and quarrel, and therefore in the present age only the yajna of chanting the holy name of the Lord is recommended. The scriptures enjoin, Harinama, Harinama, Hariname Vakevalam, Kalo Nasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva Gati Anita. So, in this section of second canto, Lord Brahma is explaining to Narada Muni about the universal form of the Lord. And in this section, we've just started yesterday from text 23, he's explaining about the process of sacrifice, basically. And Bhujan Prabhu explains that, or comments that Sridhar Swami says these section of verses up to text 25 actually should be read together. They're all related to sacrifice. So I'll speak about that today, the idea of sacrifice, and looking at what is sacrifice, why do we need it, what different types of kinds of sacrifice are there, and what's the purpose of sacrifice, and then also how we can attain the full result of sacrifices. So, a sacrifice is surrendering or offering something of value for the sake of something or someone else. That's one definition. So, Chanika Pandit says that millions of gold coins cannot buy a single moment of time. Therefore, time is our most valuable thing that we have. And we sacrifice our time for different purposes. Also, to be considered a sacrifice, then there has to be the element of selflessness to be considered sacrifice in the full sense, because everyone's sacrificing their time and energy for something. But if someone is just spending their money at bars and strip clubs and the races, then we don't really consider that as a sacrifice. But so the sacrifice is activities that are for others' benefit, although it also may be done with a selfish or a selfless motivation. So for example, we're spending and sacrificing our money to pay for children's education or for someone who is disadvantaged, and just even small things like spending time to associate with our friends and our families, a kind of sacrifice, because so that we can keep a loving relationship with everyone. We're sacrificing our time for that purpose. And also, sacrifice equals service. If we're serving someone, helping them in some way, then of course we're sacrificing our time to do that. And as we learn from Bhagavad Gita and Prabhupada's lectures, that service is the constitutional position of the living entity. Prabhupada gives the example that even the president of a country is actually the servant of the people, though he seems to be in the most powerful position of in that country. He's actually, the most responsible post, because he's serving, doing the most service. So he's meant to be serving everyone, the whole country. So you also see that family members serve each other, and friends serve each other, and workers serve their boss, so on like that. Everyone's engaged in some service. Although they generally are doing it with the idea of getting some enjoyment for themselves. So there's a selfish motivation in people's service. But in any case, to engage in any service, then we're sacrificing our time and energy. So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, because we can wonder, why do we need sacrifice? And Krishna says that there's a whole nice section on sacrifice in chapter 4 of Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada gives many nice purports on, the different kinds of sacrifice and the whole topic. So Krishna says in verse 31 that without sacrifice, one can never live happily on this planet or in this life. What then of the next? So basically, we need sacrifice to be happy, which is what everyone's looking for. So either to be happy, either materially or spiritually, we need to engage in sacrifice. Someone that's just selfishly absorbed in their own sense gratification and very narrow-minded, like a juratma, a cripple-minded person, if they're just like that, then of course they become very miserly and unhappy, frustrated with the world, that no one's, the world's not going the way we want it to. That's a symptom of just being engaged for our own sense gratification. So, and then offering sacrifice, as we're seeing in, it's the first principle in the Vedic civilization. We ending in liberation. So by performing in the Vedic civilization, by performing sacrifices to the different demigods, then, also as we learn from Bhagavad Gita, the demigods will supply all the necessities for our material comfort, like food and shelter. And then when people's material needs are fulfilled, then the next stage is karma, or regulated sense gratification. Today, but people have given up these kind of religious rituals because they think that they can get that sense gratification without the rituals, just by engaging in economic development. They don't understand that economic development is a consequence of the performing the rituals. So they leave out the rituals and go on to economic development and building more roads and cities. You know, we see in the western suburbs there's, you know, predicted to be such a big population growth in the next decade or so. So they have to do so much planning to build more infrastructure. And this kind of economic development is going on, and more sophisticated technology to make life more convenient, so-called. But all of these things don't actually fulfill even our bodily necessities. So, as Prabhupada says, that you can't eat nuts and bolts. So therefore, people are materially dissatisfied. You know, they don't eat properly, like they're just so absorbed in working and don't pay proper attention to their own body. So they get so many ailments and diseases which cause so much distress. When actually they don't realize that they'd actually be a lot happier if they took the time to prepare nice fruits and vegetables and milk and grains, and then their body would be happy and their mind would be satisfied in that way. But, you know, they think that by having a more efficient, you know, for example, public transport system to take people to work, then this is progress, this is, you know, how society makes advancement. But it's actually just creates more problems, more troubles. So and we're seeing even in today's purport, even Lord Brahma at the very beginning of the creation, I think Lord Brahma now is I think it's just after his 50th year or something. So the beginning of creation, that's, you know, eons and eons ago. But even at that time, Lord Brahma wanted to engage in sacrifice. So that's kind of giving us the example, the illustrating to us that sacrifice is like a integral part of the material creation. Because all the living entities were in this material creation due to sinful life. Just out of ignorance, actually. First, we're in ignorance of our relationship to God, Krishna. And then out of that, due to that ignorance, we engage in sinful activity again and again, and then suffer the reactions of that. So it's just a perpetual cycle of birth and death. The Vedas give us this process of sacrifice, and for the human society, in the human form of life, we have this loophole the Vedas offer us, like Krishna's mercy. We get some opportunity to get out of the material entanglement through the process of sacrifice. So in the Vedas, and yeah, there's many, many different kinds of sacrifice that are offered to people, because we know the Vedas are catering to all kinds of people. So from the gross materialist karmis to the jnani yogis and the yogis as well, everyone has an opportunity to engage in sacrifice. So the Prabhupada explains there's many a class of yagya, sacrifice or yagya called dravyamaya yagya, or this is charitable activities. For example, under this category we have activities like opening hospitals and opening schools and distribution of food, things like this. This is dravyamaya yagya. And then that's for the, I guess, more karmakanda type activities or charitable activities. And then for people who want to be elevated to higher planets in the material universe, they there's tapamaya yagya, or engaging in austerity, sacrificing the comforts of life to attain to a higher position in life, in the next life. So these are things like chaturmasya, in the 4 months in the rainy season when jnanis maybe won't shave and won't eat twice in a day and will stay in one place. And in this way they accept austerities and accept discomfort to attain to a higher position. And then there's yoga yagya, engaging in mystic, trying to attain mystic perfections, and hatha yoga, ashtanga yoga, like that, to also to attain material perfection. And then there's also svadhyaya yagya, the study of the Vedic literatures, the Upanishads and the Vedanta Sutra. So this is generally also by the jnana yogis. And Prabhupada explains that all these varieties of sacrifice can be placed in two primary divisions. There's the sacrificing our worldly possessions, and then there's sacrifice in pursuit of transcendental knowledge. So, sacrificing for charities and our wealth and everything, this is sacrificing our worldly possessions and trying to attain transcendental knowledge through studying the Vedas and doing austerity. This is sacrifice for transcendental knowledge. So according to a person's consciousness, they'll engage in different kinds of sacrifice. So the fruitive workers, the karmis, they sacrifice their possessions for material enjoyment. So they, by engaging in the karmakanda yagyas, then they have the idea that by performing these sacrifices, then they will receive some material benefit for their own sense enjoyment, such as more wealth or opulence, material opulence like that. And then have impersonalists who sacrifice all of their material designations, and their goal is to merge into the existence of the Supreme or Brahman. So they'll try to cut away all their material designations, not this, not that, just trying to understand that they're a spirit soul, or basically realize that they are that Supreme God. So And Prabhupada explains, though, that Krishna consciousness, as we know it, the Sankirtan Yajna, this is different to all of these yajnas of sacrificing material possessions and sacrificing for transcendental knowledge, because it's actually directly serving the Supreme. And all of these other yajnas, they're means for elevation, but just by doing those you can't actually achieve Krishna consciousness. And it's only by the mercy of the Lord and mercy of his devotees that you can actually achieve Krishna consciousness. All other stages are just stepping stones. And then Krishna consciousness and engaging in the Sankirtan Yajna, that's the highest goal. You're achieving the actual goal. Because by sacrifice you come to the stage of, or in the Vedic system, you get to the stage of liberation. And so this is the purpose of sacrifice, is actually to get liberation from material entanglement. And Prabhupada says that the highest perfection of liberated life is to associate with the Supreme Lord. So not only do devotees become liberated from material entanglement, but they achieve the association of Krishna in one of the five loving relationships. And so this perfection is achieved by sacrifice. Prabhupada also writes that the common aim of all of these sacrifices is to control the senses. Because in material life, sense gratification is, is everyone's goal. But just to regulate that and restrict that, then these yajnas are used. So without controlling the senses, then no one can be elevated to the platform of knowledge and, spiritual understanding without controlling the senses. So these sacrifices, just like there's a sacrifice of marriage is considered a sacrifice, just to restrict people from having so many sex partners, just restrict them to one person, and in this way sacrifice our tendency towards sense gratification with the aim of achieving spiritual life. So the highest goal of sacrifice is to achieve the association of the Supreme Lord. So therefore, as we hear in today's verse, that the only yajna recommended for this age is the Sankirtan Yajna, chanting the holy name of the Lord. So it's not that sacrifice is there in every age. But it's just that in different ages, there's different yajnas are more suitable. As we know, in the different ages, there's a different process for attaining that goal of associating with Krishna. So in Satya Yuga, people engaged in the sacrifice of meditation for many thousands of years to attain meditation on the super soul feature of the Lord. Satya Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, Treta Yuga. Treta Yuga, there was deity worship. No, that was that's Dwapara Yuga. Yagya, oh, fire sacrifice. Yeah. Oh, there you go. So there's sacrifice in Treta Yuga. And then in Dwapara Yuga, there's the process of sacrifice of deity worship. And in Kali Yuga, the process is chanting the holy names of the Lord. So when I remember, you know, when Jananda Goswami, because people still, they don't realize this, they, in Kali Yuga, people are still engaging in all of these other kinds of sacrifice, other than the Sankirtan Yuga, they're still so attracted to, you know, fire ritual, you know, fire sacrifices and so on and so forth. And even we still do these at the temple. We have Gangesha Prabhu does yagyas every week. You know, samskaras and things like this. So even devotees may question, why do we even bother to do that if the Sankirtan Yaga is the only yagya for this age? So, but we still engage in these sacrifices because people have an attraction for them, and just to you know, attract them to the temple, and even while they're doing these fire sacrifices, they're still chanting the holy names and hearing from Bhagavad Gita, which is actually so they're all, simultaneously they are engaging in Sankirtan Yagya, so they get that benefit too. And even in our society, we have the initiation ceremony, but even this, the main purpose is to initiate us into the chanting of the holy name, and the yagya itself, the fire ceremony, or this is more or less secondary. Even in Prabhupada's time, you know, initially he could do the yagyas, but then as the movement expanded right across the world, then it wasn't possible for Prabhupada to initiate everyone in a ceremony. He, I think he was, you know, he was initiating people by post in the mail, like giving a name, and then the temple president or temple authorities would send a set of beads to Prabhupada for him to chant on, and then he would maybe send them back to the person, and then they would have their, you know, initiation beads like that. But then even after a while, even that wasn't possible for Prabhupada to do, because he was just having so many people requesting initiation. So then he was asking his, he was authorizing his sannyasi disciples to chant on beads for him. And so in this way we see that, you know, the initiation yagya is not completely vital. It's just more to create that strong impression in us that we're bowing down before the deities and the spiritual master and making vows. And in this way we try to understand the seriousness of the event and try to stay fixed in our vows like that. But the main idea is to initiate us into the chanting of the holy name. Even Jananda Goswami, I've heard him describe how, you know, when people are performing yagyas in this age, practically most of the time no one has any idea what they're doing. And even for everyone watching, we wouldn't know if they're doing something wrong because we're not qualified in, we don't know what the process of yagya actually is. So he was saying how, you know, maybe someone is performing a yagya to give someone sannyas, and actually they're chanting the mantras for a wedding yagya. But we wouldn't know, really. Actually, there are so many mantras. We don't know what they mean. So it could be for this yagya, could be for another yagya, who knows? So, because no one's qualified to do that kind of activity, this kind of yagya in this age. So, As his purport's describing, we need at least 4 expert priests are needed. So one who can offer, one who can chant. So just the process of chanting the Vedic mantras is a science in itself. The accent and the meter, all these things. Yeah, I have no idea myself, but just to chant the Vedic mantras is a science. And previously, people knew the science, and therefore they could sacrifice animals in the sacrificial fire, and the animal would get a new birth. But if someone did that today, like throw a pigeon in the fire, then it wouldn't get a new birth, probably. And it wouldn't get a, you know, human birth or something, and just die uselessly. So therefore, you know, as we're hearing, the Sankirtan Yagya is the only Yagya for this age. So, you know, we're all trying to engage in the Sankirtan Yagya. And there are different items, different activities that we engage in the Sankirtan Yagya, primarily chanting of the holy name. And we may wonder, oh, okay, so I'm doing service at the temple, but you know, as we hear that the process of Sankirtan Yagya is just very simple. It's just chanting and dancing and feasting. So then we may wonder, well, what does cleaning the Prasada Mahal have to do with that? And then, or making flower garlands or washing pots. I don't feel like I'm, you know, hopefully you're chanting when you're doing those things, but you may not be able to see the connection. But all our services, because this is a preaching movement, then generally we're not only we ourselves chant and dance and feast, but we have a lot of services to try to engage others in these activities. Therefore, we run a restaurant to give people prasadam and to support the temple. And then by supporting the temple, then that gives more people the opportunity to come and themselves chant. So maybe not ourselves, but if the temple is nice and clean and well looked after, and you know, who's going to want to come to the temple if the prasadam hall is dirty and yucky? So by maintaining the temple, then people are attracted to come, and then they get the opportunity to chant and dance and feast. You see the arati and associate with the deities, associate with Prabhupada's books. So in this way, all of our services are actually aimed at engaging people in the Sankirtan Yagya, in chanting and dancing and feasting. And then in our own practice of Sankirtan Yagya, most important is chanting the holy name. And in that section in chapter 4, you know, there's a whole series of verses about sacrifice. And then that kind of, Prabhupada is explaining that it can be difficult to understand all these processes of yagya, like Dravyamaya Yagya and Tapamaya Yagya. And, you know, we can't really understand these. So then it all comes together when we approach the spiritual master. Tadvidi Pranipatena. So tat means, it's translated in that verse as relating to all those other kinds of sacrifice. So that's what we're trying to learn from the spiritual master, is how do we engage in the Sankirtan Yagya, how to chant the holy names, how to serve. You see that, you know, Bhakti Yoga has to be unmotivated and uninterrupted to fully satisfy the self. So this is what we're learning from our spiritual master. We see so many leaders in ISKCON, they are just selflessly travelling, constantly travelling around the world and preaching. So that's a huge sacrifice on their part. And it's a very selfless service that they're doing. They're not motivated by self-interest. They're just, undergoing all kinds of inconvenience in their travel and travel just to help others, engage them in the Sankirtan Yajna. So this is the kind of selflessness and things that we try to learn from our gurus. And also chanting the holy name, as you know, it's actually a prayer. So we try to have a prayerful mood that we, as the translation Prabhupada gives, O energy of the Lord, O Lord, please engage me in your transcendental loving service. So we need to learn from other devotees and our spiritual master how to chant properly. Even in just like impersonal meditation, people are recommended to find a quiet space to do your meditation. Have some nice, incense burning, or just make it a very nice environment, peaceful, so that you can concentrate and focus. And similarly, we should also, as much as we can, look at our chanting in this kind of holistic way. We see where we're chanting, and are we in a peaceful state of mind for chanting, and have we tried to eliminate as many distractions as we can, and then so that we can really focus on the chanting and pray to Krishna to be engaged in his service. So every sacrifice has some, benefit attached to it. So to achieve the full result of this Sankirtan Yajna, then we need to approach the spiritual master and serve the spiritual master and serve the other devotees in a humble state of mind and chant Hare Krishna. So I'll just leave it there. If anyone wants to ask any comments or make a question, ask a question. Yes,
can I share something?
Yeah, please.
I heard this from a Brahmacharya, Sridhar Vrindavan. His name is Rupa Goswami Das Brahmacharya. He was telling that how performing fire sacrifices in Kali Yuga are actually detrimental because things are not pure. And he quoted some words from the 11th Canto about how Indra prefers some certain things, like pure ghee and some certain things. And he said that the sacrifices people are performing today, because they are adulterated, so the demigods get upset. He offered us this third class thing. They get very angry because they have high ego and it has to be stuck up. Anything out of the order, they become very angry. And he was saying that's why it's rather very risky to perform on the sacrifice. And that's why he said prescribed yajna is the holy name. People foolishly perform all these yajnas. The demigods, instead of getting flattered, they become angry.
The ghee is contaminated. Or mixed with, I don't know, whether they use bull, milk from bulls or something. You can't get pure ghee in India.
They become more angry because sometimes it's contaminated. And it has some animal fat in it, so they become even more
Yeah.
That you are doing something. The cow that we worship, it has, you know, fat yeah. from the cow, so they become very angry.
Mm.
And he was telling that one time there was one big drought in South India,
mm.
and they put one big yagya. They collected so much funds,
really?
Big advertisements. Mm. They collected so much funds,
mm.
and then they got all this woods and big yagya kutbas and everything, and they piled everything up. And because the wood, there was some rain or something a week before, so the wood got moisture.
Huh.
There was tons of wood.
Huh.
So then they were putting petrol to ignite all
okay.
the wood. Just to show in the newspaper, because so many reporters have come.
It was like
the biggest hawan kutta in like 50 years or something.
Yeah.
And the flames were meant to go so high because the wood got moisture. So it was not even igniting. So then somebody put
petrol. Yeah. This purport says one of the priests that we need is one who can kindle the sacrificial fire without the aid of separate fire.
When I was little, my cousin's Yajna Pavitra ceremony was happening, the priest was telling about this. Actually the Brahman is meant to ignite it just by the mantra from his mouth. The fire resides in the Brahmana's mouth. And then he made a joke. He was very nice Brahmin. He made a joke. He said, now in Kali Yuga, the Brahmins have become so foul-mouthed that it has the same effect. Although they can't ignite fire, but it has the same burning effect.
Yes, sir. How is the chanting a sacrifice?
Because we do chanting normally to purify also.
Yeah.
And I say for this sacrifice, it's a holistic term to benefit others.
Yeah, by chanting, we're purifying our own consciousness, and then we can help others to. When we're more pure, we can help others to purify their consciousness. So that's a sacrifice to undergo that process of purification by chanting. That's the sacrifice. And, you know, yeah, could be doing other things. Does that help or...?
Perhaps because the process of chanting includes so many do's and don'ts, so there is that element of self-denial for a higher purpose.
Yeah.
So that could accommodate the element of actually sacrificing what we want to do, or what we should do, or what we are asked to do, or what we are required to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the 10 offenses there, you know, the 4 regulative principles, although they are guarding principles, so without that, the chanting does not have the same effect like any other sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't follow the procedure, you don't get the end result.
Yeah, it has to be done in a certain way. Yeah. Yes, my son.
If you take somebody aside, you know, you have to get up at 4 or 5 o'clock and do some chanting, that's a big sacrifice at the beginning. You know, many people are into waking up every night.
Yeah. In sacrifice, there's included is austerity, because you're doing something you don't want to do. So that's some austerity. So performing any sacrifice, you have to include it is some level of austerity. I forgot to mention how. You know, saying this in these sacrifices, you need so many things like clarified butter, ghee, honey, gold. There's hardly any gold today. But on New Year's Day, I only came back from catering. And of course, we have the New Year's Day yagya. And I had done the ordering while I was away. And you know, over Janmashtami, we got lots of donations of ghee. And we kept half here at the temple in the cellar, and we kept half somewhere else at a storage shed. And then the ghee that was in the cellar here, it got used up just kind of in December. And then, so I needed to get some from our storage shed. And then, but then before I left the catering, I had a look at it. Oh, I think it's enough. But then there was like Snani Yatra, and just that whole period was very busy. So there was a lot of cooking going on. And then so I got a call on New Year's Day. I didn't sleep on New Year's Eve. We stayed up to pack the van and everything and pack up our marquee. And then I came back and unloaded the van. And so about the middle of the day, I was trying to rest. And I got a call, and one devotee's like, "Oh, Prabhu, just wondering, there's no ghee." And it's like, "And we need to do the yagya." I was just like, "Oh, Krishna, New Year's Day yagya, there's no ghee." And, you know, so in this way, you know, this is another reason why yagya is not possible in this age. You're relying on incompetent people. yeah. Okay, so leave it there. Grantrai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. Srila Prabhupada Ki. Nitai Gaur Premanandi.